Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center. Okay.
So the title of my message this morning is Holy Spirit Working. Holy Spirit Working. And we're going to be looking at a key verse, which is Romans 8, verse 6. And actually looking at Romans 8, 1 through 11, the whole section of Scripture. So through the years, I've been in ministry at different capacities, at different times, at different ages. Being a deacon, being an elder, and now being a pastor. I've ministered with a lot of different people through the years. And what I've noticed is when you minister side by side with fellow men and women in Christ for the advancement of the gospel, you become very close to those individuals. Amen? And I don't think there's any closer relationship, except with marital relationship, than that. The marital relationship is closer, but you get very close with the men and women you work with side by side for the advancement of the gospel. So I want to just say that I've been working with three deacons in this church for many, many years. And I'm going to say their names. He's not paying attention to the one. But anyway, I've been working with one individual deacon for a total of 19 years. His name is Walter Williams. So thank you, Walter, for your service and what you've done for the advancement of the ministry. I've been working with John Mesko for about 16 years. Wonderful man, Evangelist John. Thank you, John, for your service. I've been working with Pete Rollins also as a deacon for about 15 or 16 years for the advancement of the gospel. Wonderful men of God. Thank you. I couldn't do it without you. And this church is on the verge of doing some wonderful things. Thank you, brothers.
Amen.
Brothers.
Amen.
But I've learned a lot through the years. I've learned a lot from these men. I've learned a lot from the scriptures. I've learned a lot from my mentors. I've learned a lot from, basically the Holy Spirit revealing truths to me in my life over a course of time. And I call this learning and being schooled in the school of the Holy Spirit. Because honestly, brothers and sisters, the scriptures, revelation of who God is, comes from Him to you. Books and other ways are good to learn, but the revelation of Him to us, we learn about our identity, who we are in Christ, all these wonderful, wonderful things. But I've been working with different individuals for years, and I've always noticed when I became more close and friendly with these individuals, you start learning their mannerisms. You start learning what they say as phrases. And I have one, for example, somebody would say a phrase, and I would associate that with that person.
Yeah.
Or if I thought of that person, I would know that they would associate that phrase. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that experience? Somebody says the same phrase a lot, and you kind of think of that phrase, and you think of that person. So, have you experienced that?
Yes.
Amen. So, I'm going to give you a phrase of somebody, and I want to see if you know who it is. This is what the phrase is. He said this. I'm strong to the finish because I eat me spinach. I'm strong to the finish because I eat me spinach. Who said that?
Popeye.
Who's Popeye? Cartoon character from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and the celery, yes, and 60s. But I've worked with a wonderful, wonderful pastor for years. I'd say for at least maybe 10 to 12 years. And I often remember him on this phrase he said. He always said this a lot in terms of when he saw God at work. He said, Holy Spirit working. He would say, Holy Spirit working. So if I told him today that, a pastor from Uganda connected with this little church in Manalpin, New Jersey, got a visa to come to this country, okay, listened to a message I preached probably 6-8 months ago, was so gripped by grace that he wanted to come to this country to meet this ministry and to learn grace, he would say, Holy Spirit working.
Right.
Holy Spirit working. And we know who he knows who it is, right? Some of us know who it is. If I said, God has provided us a building to meet in. And as a matter of fact, we have the building for the whole year, next whole year. He would say, Holy Spirit working.
Right.
If something tremendous happened, if God moved in wonderful ways, he would say, Holy Spirit is working. And brothers and sisters, he is right. The Holy Spirit is at work. It is always at work, but sometimes it's not obvious to us as men and women in Christ. So, up to this point in the book of Romans, Paul has not really talked about much, this thing called the Holy Spirit or the God person, Holy Spirit. He hasn't talked about the Holy Spirit. He mentioned it a few times in passing, but never mentioned it specifically, what the purpose of and how the Holy Spirit works. But in Romans 8, Paul mentions it 21 times. So a word is mentioned 21 times in a section of Scripture. That means one thing. It's a key, important idea or topic in that section of Scripture. So Paul mentioned it 21 times in the book of Romans chapter 8. And a couple of references to the Holy Spirit and a couple of references to the human spirit. We'll look at that. It's a key word. But the Holy Spirit is at work. And I want to look at this today. 3 points in these verses of chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. How the Holy Spirit works in these verses, so we could see. And next week we'll continue on with more. But first, the Holy Spirit works by freeing. Romans 8, verse 1 to 2. The Holy Spirit works by guiding. Romans 8, verses 3 to 8. The Holy Spirit works by indwelling. Romans 8, 9 to 11. So let me read Romans 6 as the key verse to this section of Scripture. Circle it in your Bibles from the NASB version, and then we'll open this service in prayer. Follow along. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, again so wonderfully for the Scriptures. I pray this every week. Thank you for Paul. Thank you that he penned these words in the book of Romans. I pray, Lord, we have a greater, greater understanding of what our flesh is today and how the Holy Spirit works in our life, and that we flesh out the flesh because of the Spirit in us. Thank you, Lord. The Scriptures, thank you, Lord, and help us to set our minds on you, on the Spirit, in a way to live. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So what's the gospel? I mention this every message in case you haven't heard. I'll explain it. It's very simple. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. I've mentioned this every week. It says this. For you, I'm not listening to my other messages. It says this. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is this. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected on the third day. If you believe that in your heart, and you pray, and you receive Jesus as your Savior, you have new spiritual life. That is God's offer of spiritual life. That is it. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing more to do, nothing less. By faith, we have regenerated and a new life. And that is the gospel. Amen? Romans is a wonderful book. It's a lot of good doctrine. We've covered a lot of key points. Real quick, you know. He's not ashamed of the gospel. Remember that? Romans 1, 16, 17. It's kind of a review. Romans 2, 4. God's grace leads men to repentance, to a change of mind. Romans 3, 23 and 24. All men have fallen short of the glory of God. All men are in a condition spiritually dead in sin compared to God, who is holy. Romans 4, 3. Abraham, whole chapter about him. By faith, credited him righteousness. My message, creditor debt. Remember that? Yeah. Romans 5:17 talks about death spread to all men because all men have sinned. You know what? Our great-great-great-great-grandfather, however far he's back there, Adam, sinned. We are all spiritually dead because of what he did in the garden, thanks to him. But there's a way out, and that's life in Christ. We looked at Romans 6:5. We're united with Christ in his death. We're united with him in his resurrection. We're connected to him. We looked at Romans 6, 12, 13, key verses. Offering ourselves to God as a way to grow, as a way to be sanctified, as a way to flesh out the flesh, as a way to grow and just get rid of errors in our thinking. We looked at Romans 7, 4 a couple weeks ago. Remember that? You died to the law, but you'd be united to Christ. You died to the law. You're now united to him in a new way. And then last week we looked at Romans 7, 15, those last verses of Romans, about Paul saying, I do what I don't want to do, and what I don't want to do, I do. And we see that. That's his struggle. So that's where we are today. We're up to this point. We're going to be up to Romans chapter 8. But before we start, God is three persons. God is triune. This thing, this idea called the Trinity, that word Trinity is not in the Bible. God consists of three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is not the Son or the Holy Spirit. God the Son is not God the Father or the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not God the Father or God the Son. They're separate, distinct, individual persons of God. We see this in the New Testament. We see this in the Old Testament. Jesus said, the Great Commission, remember that? Matthew 18, 28, 19. Go therefore and baptize, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them name in the what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we clearly see in Scripture that God is three persons. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission, brothers and sisters. We need to go out and tell people about who Jesus is so they can have spiritual life. God always existed. The Trinity always existed. God said it in Genesis 1:26. He said, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Who was us? Who was our likeness? That's the Trinity. Amen? So the Trinity always existed. God always existed. And God is eternal. Amen? So now we come to Romans 8. Chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. And I'll read those two verses first. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Interesting, right? There is no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. What did Paul just go through in chapter 7? I'm struggling with sin, right? I'm not doing what I want to do. Immediately, chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation if you fail or if you sin, brothers and sisters. Paul said it in chapter 7, the way to victory, he said, is through Christ. But we try to live the victorious Christian life by what? The law. Paul said, no, the law doesn't help me. The law doesn't give me victory. The law instills more sin, arouses more sin. Okay. He talks about nothing relying good in his flesh. Relying on my flesh to live the Christian life doesn't give me victory. That was back in chapter 7, end of it. And then he said, trusting in this sin in me, in my members, unrenewed mind, residual sin doesn't help me in victory. Okay? You know what? The victory is in Jesus Christ. But now we're at this point where we say, you're not condemned if you sin. Because we are works in progress. Amen. We have a choice, a daily choice, to choose Christ as our source to live life every day, or these other things, law, flesh, or sin in us, which is not us. But we make mistakes. We all do. I do. Every one of us. We still sin. There is no condemnation because we are in Jesus Christ. We are secure. We are eternally secure. We have His life. He never takes it away from us. It's there. He's not upset. He's not going to condemn us. He doesn't disapprove us. Amen. He loves us. But He wants us to present ourselves to Him, to renew our mind, and to grow into His image. That's what He wants. Amen. So we're not condemned. You feel that. Do you feel that? Do you see that? There is no condemnation. You cannot lose your salvation, brothers and sisters, because you sin. And your sinful behavior does not define you as a Christian. You are a child of God. Amen? But then verse 2, a wonderful, wonderful verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Paul now points out two principles, two laws. There's a law of the Spirit of life, and there's another one. There's a law of the Spirit, law of sin and of death. Paul is saying this thing, the Spirit of life, has set you free from this other principle, the law of sin and death. What is Paul talking about here? What is Paul referring to? These two principles, these two types of ways of living. He is referring to living before receiving Christ, before salvation, which is under the law of sin and death, versus after salvation, being under the Spirit of life. So let's think of this. Before salvation, being under sin and death, we're spiritually dead. We're in bondage to sin. We're controlled by the power of sin. And we are separated. We are dead spiritually. And we're separated from the life of God. That's what that is. Being under sin and death. That's the principle of that. That's a horrible, horrible way to live. And brothers and sisters, the answer out of that, the way out of that is Jesus Christ. But after saving faith, we're in this different place. You know what? We're in this place of life, spirit of life and peace. You know, after saving faith, we're alive, we're righteous, the power of sin has been broken, and now we're in union with Jesus Christ. That is a big change. We went from one way to live to a new way to live. We went from being under the power of sin, sin and death, to being under being righteous, united to Jesus Christ, in the spirit of life. That is an awesome, awesome thing. That's an awesome change. The third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of life, has done that for us. Amen? Please understand, the way out of that, the way out of sin and death is only one way. That is Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul starts with this. There's no condemnation. When you sin, you're still never separated from Him. He loves you. But you've been free when you receive Him from that old way of living to a new way. Being under the principle of the Spirit of life, you're secure. And you will never be separated from Him and the love of God. And I believe that's very freeing, is it not? Amen. Yeah. Do you believe that? Is that freeing? You've been freed from sin and death. Amen? You've been freed from sin and death. And I want you to say amen, 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 because that's a huge, wonderful truth of Scripture. For point two. The Holy Spirit works by guiding. Guiding. Verses 3 to 8. Paul tells us now, he gets into this law. He says, the Mosaic law can't set you free like the law of the Spirit of life. And I'll read it. 8, 3 to 4 says, for the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For what the law cannot do is what? The law cannot free you from sin and death. You see that? The law cannot give you spiritual life. Amen? The law shows you your need for Jesus Christ. But I am so saddened by the fact that so many Christians today don't understand that and still think they need to keep the law for righteousness when they've already been made righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You've been freed from that. It says it right here. The law couldn't do it. It was weak. It couldn't give you life. But we still try. But we still try. Some of us. Paul says the law is fulfilled in us as a believer in Jesus Christ. And now we have a new way to live. We can walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh, not rely on the flesh, not rely on the law of sin and death to live life. Now, this thing, flesh, is such a hideous thing. It really is. And Paul hasn't talked much about it. Last week he did a little bit. But my definition of flesh is patterns of living in an attempt to get one's needs met or living independently from one's own resources. You know, this pattern of living, we develop. Our man's deepest core in desires is love, acceptance, value, worth, and significance. Amen? People will do almost anything to feel loved. People will almost do anything to feel significant, to feel part of something. And they develop all these horrible, terrible patterns in life, okay, to meet those needs. And God is saying, no, 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 I will meet that need. You just come to me. I will meet that need. Okay? But we develop these patterns, okay, because we're living independently before salvation of Christ. But after salvation, we still have this thing, flesh. Because as a believer, we have a daily choice to rely on our flesh or trust in it, or to depend on Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's a daily choice. Do you trust in your flesh, or do you trust in God or the Holy Spirit? It's your choice. But an unbeliever who doesn't have salvation has no choice. He has to rely on his flesh. Now, I'm going to ask you today, saved and unsaved, how is it working for you relying on self and flesh? How's it working for you? Is it? Be honest. Is it working? Well, and sisters, I know it's not working because Paul says it here in chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. And he says, you know, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is this thing called life and peace. We have a choice. Setting our mind is saying, I am having a choice to trust in, to rely on the Spirit in me, in Christ in me, or my own resources, okay? My own pattern, my own method, my old way of dealing with life. It's my choice, okay? Paul is saying that when we reset our mind on that old way of thinking and this old pattern, what is it? It's death. As an unbeliever, we're spiritually separated. It's death. We need life. But you know what? As a believer or unbeliever, what we do when we do this is we have a hopelessness. We have disappointment. We have depression. We have loneliness and despair because the flesh profits nothing, brothers and sisters. We need to rely and set our minds on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen? But why do we continually do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result? Doesn't work, does it? What do they call that?
Insanity.
Insanity. It's wrong. It doesn't produce anything. But you know what? We set our mind on the Spirit. It's life and peace. Do you want life and peace? I do.
Well, we all do.
Do, brother. Amen. We all do. Set your mind on Him, on the Spirit, okay? The Spirit is the answer. Set your mind on the Spirit. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because that is the answer to all the troubles we see in this world today. Amen. People are searching for Jesus Christ, and they don't know He is the one that will fill that need.
That's right.
Amen. They think everything else fills that need. Look at the society today. Churches, 10,000 churches are closing every year in the United States. Why? Because they don't realize or never been taught Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? He is the way. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who gets rid of that dependence on flesh and shows you to depend on Him. That's a wonderful way to live life. That's a way to have peace. Amen? That's what people need. That's what the world needs. But you know what? Paul says, drills down even further. Romans 8, 7, and 8. He says, because the mind set on the flesh is this, hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Whoa, okay, what does this mean? When you set your mind on self-dependence, it's like a hostility towards God in a sense, right? That is saying, I'll do it my way. I know, God, you say this is the way, and trust me, but no, I don't really want to. I'll do it my way. That's what you're saying. You know what? It isn't depending on God. It's not being able to, not even able to do so, which is meaning if you're relying and trusting Him, He can't even guide you because you're not listening to Him. He's going like this. Please listen to me, son, daughter. I love you. That's a wrong choice. Trust me. Come to me. My Spirit in you will reveal things to you. Trust me, rely on me as your source of life. That will give you peace. You know what? And then he says it doesn't please Him when you choose the flesh. And you know what? Is Paul referring to a believer? Is Paul referring to an unbeliever? Well, brothers and sisters, here, it's most likely an unbeliever. But the choice of the flesh is still an option for a believer. We choose the flesh. It's death, loneliness, despair, going down a rabbit trail, never getting to where you want to go because your only need will be met in Jesus Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. Set your mind on the Spirit of life. But you know what? God is always pleased. I want to state this with us. He loves us. We're His children. But you know what? I think He's not pleased when we don't choose Him. Yeah? He wants us to choose Him. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to rely on Him. He's pleased when we do these things. Choose Him. Rely on Him. Don't keep going down the flesh trail. Amen? Why choose the flesh? It only produces despair, heartache, more heartache. Set your mind on the Spirit. He said it back in Romans 7, 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. Amen? So where are you going to set your mind today, brothers and sisters? On the Spirit or on the flesh? When we set it on the Spirit, Christ's life flows through you like the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. We know that. You see that. The Holy Spirit is your guide. You're guided by Him. He works in your life. He will meet all your needs. He's your source. He's just waiting for you to choose and depend on Him. And you allow the Spirit to work in you and through you. Amen. The Spirit guides you. That's a choice. And you know what? Most of the Christian life really comes down to a couple things. Trusting and believing and offering ourselves to Him to work through us. That's what it is. Rely on the Spirit. Choose the Spirit. Set your mind on the Spirit. That's life in the flesh. That's life versus the flesh. The Holy Spirit also indwells. It's interesting because Paul now goes back to this. In verse 9 to 11, he says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So Paul is saying here, but you are not in the flesh, in other words, unsaved, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. I have met folks over the years that tell me they're Christian. And I ask them, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they say, I don't know. So I said, well, make sure you have received it, because maybe you're not spiritually alive. Maybe you're still spiritually dead. There's got to be a time when we said, that was a date that I received Jesus. There was a date that I said he came into my life, because I know I have him. Okay? Do you know that date? Do you know around the time? Some of us were little kids, but do you know the date or time? I know my date or time. Back in 1990, when I met a pastor in a church I was in, my first church, and he showed me scriptures in Romans, and he said, do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior? And I said, yes. And I prayed, and the light bulb went on in my head, and that was 30 years ago, amen. But do you remember a time? Because Paul is saying here, okay, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to him. It's so important. That spiritual life, do you know when you receive the Spirit? Do you know? Do you remember? You know what? Paul is saying that you need the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Do you have it? If you don't have it and you want to receive it, I'm going to pray a prayer this morning. And you can follow along online. You can follow along here sitting today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this is the prayer. Follow along or listen carefully in your mind and you can pray this prayer. Here's the prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that I am in need of spiritual life. I know I need to have you as my source to live life. Not to have to depend on my flesh. Relying on my flesh has only led me to disappointment and despair. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me alive in you. From this point forward, teach me your grace and give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today online or anytime listening in the future, let us know. Because if you did, then in that instant, the Holy Spirit has come into your life. And now you are under the Spirit of life, and you can set your mind on the Spirit and no longer have to be controlled by this thing called flesh. Amen.